Hey girl, you feel that? That's boyfriend material. This is episode 19, Stay, from 2005. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode's brought to you by Canvas.
Oh, you mean Canvas?
No, that's boyfriend material.
Canvas, very appropriate for Gaz the artist.
Yeah.
The troubled artist, the tortured artist. Or is he? Who knows? What's real? Joe, what is real?
This movie. We were talking about it because I had watched it before you. I finished it. My first reaction was that was a movie.
It is the worst movie I've seen this year. The problem is, and also I want to let you know, dear listener, that my voice is shot. I also don't give a shit because this movie sucks. My voice is shot because I sung my face off with a friend of the show, Chris Podcasts. We were at a Carly Rae Jepsen concert last night. So I have 60% of the voice right now.
You sound pretty good.
It's just a little raspy.
Yeah.
Also, too much alcohol, not enough sleep, all those things, you know.
It happens.
I'm in recovery mode today.
It's okay.
The problem with this movie is that it is mostly, not entirely, competently made. Like, it looks pretty good for most of the time.
Looks pretty good. I agree.
Filled with good actors.
Tons of good actors.
Which is crazy.
The cast is nuts, yeah.
But it thinks it's so cool.
It thinks it's very cool.
Yeah. I don't know why there are so many directorial flourishes.
Like what?
Like zooming in on a picture that then becomes the frame. Just like this, like the swivel, like the weird cameras and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Do.
I don't know why. Like it's disorienting, which I guess is the point, but it's too much.
Yeah, I took it as like to be part of like the twists and the you don't know, but at the same time, like they're all pretty shitty twists. I was like, why do you want to embellish them? And it like gives you like a huge hint that like what you're seeing isn't real, you know? And you're like, well, you could have just surprised me at the end as opposed to telling me throughout the whole movie that there's going to be a twist at the end.
So the movie literally opens in a car wreck.
That
you don't exactly know what it is, but there's a car wreck.
Yep.
And Gosling is sitting upright in, like, on the Brooklyn... We don't know, but it's the Brooklyn Bridge. We find out at the very end that this entire movie was essentially not his life flashing before his eyes, but, like, his mind sort of playing tricks on him, either before he is about to go off and die, or just, like, before, like, you know, as he was in this accident, because everyone who tends to him, Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts and whoever else, he, like, creates this world that they're all... his psychiatrist and his psychiatrist's wife and like all this, and it's just
well, his
like
girlfriend, yeah.
Why? Like he didn't know these people. Like if there's a twist, but like there's no value or punch to the twist. It's just like, bet you didn't see that coming. It's like no, because why would I? How would I?
I thought we were gonna get like a Fight Club situation because in the scene where he's like fighting the psychiatrist. Like, I thought we were going to get this Fight Club situation where, like, the psychiatrist was the guy.
So I thought, similarly, I thought Gosling was not real.
Yeah. I felt a little bit of a, what is this, like, I see dead people.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I felt a little Sixth Sense-y that, like, I thought, no, this guy, yeah, I thought Gosling wasn't real and this guy was going to be dead. And, like, Gosling's becoming dead, so he's, like, meeting all of these already dead people, right? Because, like, everybody, like, around him is kind of tragic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, so, like, this guy's, like, crossing over or doesn't realize he's dead yet, and this is, like, this guy's exposition to, like, being dead, but nope.
All movie long, I was like, there's going to be a twist, because this is also, I messaged you, because as I'm watching these movies, especially movies that aren't as good, like, when it's a good movie, I'm engrossed, and I'm, you know, watching, and I'm taking notes, and remembering things, and whatever. When there's a movie like this, where I'm just like, oh, this is not going to be good, I go on IMDb, and I pull the trivia that I'm going to talk about in the episode. I've never seen a higher ratio of, because in IMDb, there's, like, different, like, the trivia page is, like, most of the trivia, and then there's, like, if there's cameos, if there's director trademarks, and then there's spoilers.
Yeah.
So it's, like, basically, don't read these until you've seen, like, in theory, there could be spoilers up top, but don't read these spoilers until you've seen the movie. And out of the 15 trivia bits for this movie, 7 are spoilers. And I've never seen so many, so I was like, oh, I guess I know exactly what kind of movie this is going to be. Let me just not read any of these.
Are they really even, like, twists? They're just, like, we just didn't explain this until the end. It's not a twist in the sense of, like, you were led one way and believe something else.
Correct.
They don't really explain shit, you know?
Like, it's a reversal. It's not a twist, but it's a reversal, I think, kind of. It's like...
Okay. That's a good word for it.
A good twist, you can sort of hint at it all along. Like, this movie's like, hey, something's weird, and you're like, yeah, I get that, but I don't know. Like, there's no way to guess this twist.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to figure out. Like, that's why I was, like, not calling it a twist either, because it's not like something actually happened. It's just, like, it's telling you, like, this is weird, but not, like, you're going to be surprised by it at the end. Because, like, when I was watching it, I, like, looked at Rachel and I was like, this movie, like, as we're in it, I was like, this movie feels like a shitty version of The Game. It's kind of surreal. It kind of feels weird. I'm getting The Game vibes because, like, that's one of my favorite thrillers and, like, I think one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Except it's not. accomplishing that. It's just telling you stuff's weird, and then you get to the end, and you're like, oh, this is why I've never heard of this movie before.
So here's some behind-the-scenes stuff, some of which you know, some of which you don't know. You said to me that it's like The Game, it's like Fight Club, it's like Seven, it's like all these movies.
I didn't even realize what I did, but I was like,
they're
this
all
game
Fincher movies.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I was telling Rachel, I was like, this game, it feels like The Game, it kind of feels like it wants to be Seven, and it has a Fight Club element to it. And you're like, oh, those are all David Fincher movies. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I always forget.
And at one point, David Fincher was supposed to direct this, and he didn't.
Which I think is because he read the script and was like, this movie sucks. I'm not doing this.
So I'm going to get to there in a second, too. I don't know. I think we either talked about it possibly when we did... maybe when we did Film Club about Fincher, or maybe we just talked about it in a different thing, but like, David Fincher in a lot of his movies uses a lot of yellow. For different reasons, yellow has a lot of different meanings and stuff like that. This movie also features a lot of yellow. So it's like, oh, we're not going to get Fincher, we're going to make
you
it
don't
seem...
mean, do you mean the cult, like the bold yes. color like, yellow, like, or literal, like a sepia like, tone of the...
Like literal yellow on the frame, sort of like yellow lighting, sort okay. of everything is kind of like
and a yellow
tinted
tinge.
Toward that to sort of give a certain feel, right?
Okay.
And so I like that not only does it feel... like a David Fincher movie, like a bad David Fincher movie, but it looks like a bad David Fincher movie.
Yes.
This was, and I mentioned this a while ago, I don't remember if it was on a podcast or not, this movie was written by David Benioff, who was one of the two guys who co-created Game of Thrones, the TV show.
Oh, I remember you saying, no, I knew the name when I saw like the first ending credits, and I didn't know why I knew that
yep.
name.
D.B.
That
Weiss
makes
and David
sense.
Benioff. You know, for what it's worth, you know, everybody has different takes on Game of Thrones, but it's probably the most successful show in the last decade.
For sure.
When it was at its height, it was one of the best shows, if not the best show on TV. He sold this script for $1.5 million, which is a wild amount of money, like a ridiculous amount of money for
to
a script.
To sell a script,
for.
Yeah, I guess, right?
This is also his first screenplay he ever wrote. Or he, not that he ever wrote, that he ever sold. So this was like this like highly sought after, like this is going to be the movie, right? Like this is going to be like the biggest twist movie.
Yeah, like The Game.
Yes, exactly. This is directed by a guy named Mark Forster. So here's, it's a name I did not know. However, I've seen some of his movies. So this movie comes out, Stay comes out in 2005, right? A year after this movie comes out, the first Daniel Craig James Bond movie comes out.
Okay.
So as they're making this movie, they're probably making that movie too.
Yes.
It's Casino Royale. This guy, Mark Forster...
yeah.
Goes on to make Quantum of Solace the next James Bond movie. So they say, okay, we just had a wildly successful James Bond movie with what people are going to one day say is, you know, maybe the best James Bond of all time. Daniel Craig's awesome.
Yeah.
Who do we want to direct the next James Bond movie? This guy. He goes from this movie... I don't know if he directed anything in between. I want to take a look. But, like, how does a guy like this that makes a movie that's this erratic and this crazy and this... you know, much of a mess,
yeah.
and then get arguably, like, the most respected and revered franchise in the history of movies. You know what I mean? Like, what?
I don't know, man. All these guys got, like, a huge come-up the whole way down the line, right? Like,
so he actually went... so he's directed a bunch of things. So he directed Monsters Ball in 2001, which
okay.
is the Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry movie. Yep.
Yeah, Halle Berry.
He did Finding Neverland. Then he did this movie. Then he did Stranger Than Fiction, which is
that
Will Ferrell
movie,
which is
great.
I
really like that movie. It's a great movie, yeah. Which is actually much like this. Now that you brought up the fucking Stranger Than Fiction.
Hearing voices and stuff?
Like, the hearing voices, not really knowing what's happening. He, like, went out to correct this movie, I guess. And got fucking Will Ferrell to do it, apparently.
Yeah, and then he did The Kite Runner, which I think was acclaimed. And then he did Quantum of Solace. And then since then, he's done Machine Gun Preacher, World War Z, that Brad Pitt zombie movie, All I See Is You, which I don't know, and then the new Christopher Robin movie that came out last year. It's like, this guy is all over the place, and like, he's made good movies before, but I just think it's crazy to go from basically like this, and like, oh, we gotta get, let's
well,
get
no,
the guy
if he
who did
Monsters
Stay.
Ball and stuff. No, if he did Monsters Ball, I think that his previous track record was like...
oh yeah, for sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was carrying him. It's not like this is his first movie, and then...
but still, I was just like, oh boy, like, that is crazy. So Gosling's not in this a ton, like, the movie's
what?
About
I think
him.
He is a ton. He's a ton in this. He's at least in like half.
Well, Ewan McGregor, like, the whole movie is Ewan McGregor looking for him, right? Because it's like,
yeah.
again, because none of this is real, nothing really needs to follow any rules. But Gosling, in the beginning, goes to...
his therapist.
His
but
therapist.
It's different
and there's
like
a substitute therapist, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, which is already kind of fucked up. You have this, you build this rapport with a person, and then they're like, oh, yeah, no, this there's the new guy here. I'll just tell this guy all my
this
secrets.
This is weird, and this would never happen, right? If you're going to a therapist, they would have to give you some kind of warning that, like, you're going to get a new therapist the next day. You can't just, like, spring it on someone.
He's, like, the shittiest, worst therapist, too, because, like, he goes home, and he's like, blabbing to his wife, because, like...
you're allowed to do that. It's HIPAA. He can't, like, tell them about this kid, but he tells her exactly who it is. That's the problem.
That, but it's also, like, Gosling in the beginning, like, looks out the window, like, it's a clear sunny day. He's like, it looks like it's going to hail, which is the broken glass from the car accident. Which is like, oh, boy.
I was going to ask you about the hail thing. I didn't get it.
Then it hails, and so yeah, I think he basically goes home and, like, you're never going to believe this. Like, I had this patient today, and he's like, it's going to hail, and then it hailed. Like, well, that's weird. But then, he's like, Ewan McGregor's, like, very distressed, and Naomi Watts is like, it's that new patient, right? You know, why don't you tell me about him? And then Ewan McGregor says, haven't you heard of doctor-patient confidentiality? And Naomi Watts is basically like, come on! He's like, all right, here's everything you possibly would need to know. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, it's weird, man. We have to do HIPAA trainings yearly, and, like, I don't even see patients, right? So, like, HIPAA's very serious. And we, you know, we have, like, lots of doctors that work with us. And they definitely will come in and tell us, like, the gist of a story. You just have to be like, oh, I have a patient. This is the guy. Not like he's a student in your art school that you go to. Do you know him? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, what the fuck? Like, you can't do that. And she's like, oh, let me talk to him. Like, absolutely not. You're not a doctor. Like, what's wrong? Yeah.
In the beginning, Gosling's like, on Saturday night, I'm going to kill myself.
Yes. It's the first thing he says, yeah.
Ewan McGregor is like, because you said that, I need to take action now. Like, I can't, like, we have confidentiality, but, like, when you threaten self-harm, I have to report it. And so then, like, Gosling
also,
basically
runs
away.
Also, he would instantly get locked up.
Yeah, but they go through that here.
They kind of do, but there wouldn't be, like, oh, I'm going to delay it because we can only keep him for 2 days. It would be like, no, if he said, I'm going to kill myself on Saturday, you go to the mental hospital then. Like, they lock you up. You're done. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
that's their excuse. It's like, oh, we wouldn't still have him on Saturday. And if he's going to kill himself on Saturday, it's not going
to,
whatever. So
why did you have to, like, input this part of the movie to not make sense when you could have just condensed the timeline and been like, I'm going to kill myself in one day? Just to give yourself this movie, I guess.
Yep. Keep in mind, this is the movie where, like, he's going to kill himself at midnight as he turns 21. The numbers 21 are all over this movie. At the end, you, like, zoom out of the Brooklyn Bridge, and there's the ambulance there, and the ambulance number is 2121.
Oh,
like, this
right.
is the kind of movie where it's, like, that's the level of, like, creativeness. It's like, oh, we're going to sprinkle these in. But, like, the numbers don't mean anything. Like, it's not, like, we have no context or basis for, like, who this guy is. We see him in what appears to be an accident or something. It's not explained. The movie happens, but none of the movie's real. And it's just like, I don't care. I don't understand.
It's stuff like this with, like, the 21 sprinkled throughout it. Things that I always think that, like, people that I don't like reviewing movies always tell, like, if I'm like, hey, I thought Stay sucked, they'll be like, but all the 21s, man.
I know.
And you're like, that doesn't make the movie better. If you like it, that's cool, but it doesn't make it better to me.
Like, I think, like, in college, like, I feel like we're both the type of person who, like, 10 years ago would have been like, can you believe this movie? Like, this movie, mind blown. Like,
no, I don't think so.
You never would have thought this movie was cool?
Never would have thought this movie was cool. I've done it with other movies, so I'm not saying I'm above this. This one, I would have been like, nah.
I just don't know, because I think, like, it's just so disorienting. I remember vividly seeing the number 23, which was that Jim Carrey movie in theaters, which, like, I don't remember what the twist is, but there's a big twist. And I remember, like, the twist happening, and me being like, in the theater, be like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't, like, and again, like, I don't want to, like, talk ill of movies, but, like, I feel like when your movie is predicated on a twist and it doesn't work, it's like, oh, this is a waste of my time.
Hard. Yeah, it's, you could definitely be like, this did not deliver.
Because I feel like it's the kind of thing where, like, you're not respecting your audience. It's like, I'm going to try to be, like, so cool. Like, they're going to be wowed by how smart this is. It's like, well, it could be smart if you, like, had any kind of follow through at all. And I don't know if the original script, you know, like, if David Fincher in 2005, whatever, say, like, 2002, 2003, like, this is after Fight Club, this is after Seven, you know, like, he's a name. And so for him to be attached, like, the script had to probably be good. You know what I mean? Like,
at least at some point, there's potential there.
And I don't know, you know, how it
fell out. How
exactly, like,
do
what
it.
What got adapted when, if the new director had different ideas or whatever. Like, I don't know what happened, but, like, something along the way, or always, was just like, oh, I did, no. My first note, after I wrote down such a dramatic opening of the car flipping over, instant nominee for worst Gosling hair, because, oh boy, it is bad.
Well, Rachel 1000% agrees with you, because she said, Jesus, that hair is terrible. As soon as she saw him come on screen.
It's really, really bad. Like, it's just...
It's,
like,
pretty bad, yeah.
It looks... And again, I think this is because he's portraying a mentally ill person. You know, he's a young kid or whatever.
No, it's just hipster hair from this time period. It's not even like...
It's also... It just looks greasy, and it's not cut or kept well. It's just... Yep. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's not very good.
The first least boy from Cheryl moment I have is that after, when he's on the way, I think, home from Ewan McGregor's office, He's just on that subway car, and he just lights a cigarette. And I'm like, what the, like, what the, what?
Yeah.
And then Tio Salamanca from Breaking Bad is like, hey, guy, put that out. And then there's a girl who just, like, starts a conversation. Like, nobody else cares that he's smoking. Like, if somebody did that today, like, everyone would move. They'd be like, what is happening? Only one guy says something. And then the girl's like, hey, I know you. You're from that psych class, right? And it's like, wait, wait. Like, it all feels, like, it's like, none of this feels real. Because it's not. But, like, it's so aggressively
But it could feel
fake.
More surreal than, I mean, it's, sorry, it could feel more real and still keep a surreal feeling than it being just, like, wildly incomprehensible.
I feel like it could either go more real or more surreal.
Yes.
And either way would be better, but it just straddles that line and it doesn't hit either, and it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah. I feel you.
I'm sure you noticed, because Tio Salamanca comes back later as the shop owner. There's a lot of actors, and there's, like, main actors and also extras who play multiple parts in this. Again, I guess, sort of hinting at split personality, but it's not.
Yeah, because Tio comes back, but he knows Gosling, so you're like, okay, so, like, what the fuck is really going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Did Gosling actually see this guy on the subway and, like, no, he didn't. He just made him up anyways, because Tio Salamanca plays two characters and he's at the crime scene.
It's just, everybody who's at the crime scene is just, it's, that's who Gosling is thinking of this entire movie. But, like, what tipped me off here was that Sterling K. Brown, who you might know as the one black guy, the one not white guy in this movie.
Yeah. What's he from? I watched the movie with him.
He's most
in it
famous now for. He's in This Is Us. He's the one of the stars of This Is Us. But you would know him from. He played Darden in the defense lawyer in OJ, in the
That's
American
right.
Crime Story.
I recognized him, and I thought so. And I was like, where the fuck did I see him? Does he also play, like, the gay guy in the Hamlet rehearsal?
Yes. So here's the thing. So early
I was
in the
like,
movie.
It looked like him, because he passes the psychiatrist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw him again, and I was like, Rachel, I think that's the same guy. And then, but he didn't know who he was at the second time. And I was like, well, why the fuck doesn't he know who he is? That's
right.
Really weird.
In the beginning of the movie, Sterling K. Brown is, like, a lawyer or a psychiatrist or something. Like, he's in the office, and he, like, comes. He's like, hey, you know, knock, knock, meeting in 10 minutes or whatever he says. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh. And, like, he never comes back. I was like, that's a weird, you know, I know that he's not, you know, not a star yet, but, like, it's still, like, a weird kind of, like, featured extra. Like, he's, you know, sixth or seventh build or something. I'm just like, weird that he's not going to come back. And then when they're at the Hamlet rehearsal, I'm like, is that? And, like, I had that moment where I'm like, is that Sterling K. Brown, or am I being racist? You know what I mean? Like, I don't
same.
Know.
I did the exact same thing. I brought it to Rachel, and I was like, oh, this guy, look, it's him. Who is he? And then I was like, oh, never mind. I just thought it was the same guy from before.
Right.
And I had the exact same moment that you did.
And so I, I'm better at voices than faces. And I was like, it sounds like him and it looks like him, but you're never really up close on
and
him.
And he's playing a gay character, so he had, like, a little, you know.
Yep. He walks away. He walks past Ewan McGregor. I'm like, I gotta look this up. And then I go on Letterboxd, and, like, he's right. He's like Bud slash Tony. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh.
And you're like, and that's one of these movies.
I like mouse over other actors, and it's all like this slash this. When Ewan McGregor is going from diner to diner looking for Athena, and he goes to the first diner, and there's an Athena, but she's like this butch cook. She's in this movie, I think, three times. She's like a paramedic, and she's the cook, and she's this other person. I knew her because, like, I was just like, what? Like, she is on Girls, that Lena Dunham show.
Oh,
she
yes.
plays Lena's mom.
Oh,
and
okay.
She's also the judge on Big Little Lies, the new Big Little Lies. I was just like, why is she? And then, like, I keep seeing her. I'm like, what is this movie?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
The duplicates and the triplicates and, like, the doubles and triples and everything and, like, the repetition of things is making you think, and again, this is just a lack of respect for the audience, making you think that, like, it's going to be the split personality or that, you know, he's imagining a second person or whatever.
Yes.
And then it's not. And it's like, well, what did you do that for?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was thinking the same thing. I don't know. I don't get it.
I didn't take another nomination for most or least boyfriend material moments. I'm just looking through my notes for, but as Ewan McGregor is going from diner to diner, there's that, like, sort of trippy song that plays. It just says, who am I, who am I? That song is from the Animatrix. Like, I'm sure it's been used in other things, but, like,
you
the Animatrix,
remember it, yeah.
Especially for things that I love, and I love the Matrix, I love all that stuff, and I listen to that soundtrack a lot. I was like, again, like, the Matrix, where it's like, things aren't as they seem, and, you know, in the first Matrix, not the Animatrix, but in the first Matrix, Morpheus brings Neo into the simulation, and there's, like, people, like, there's, like, doubles and triples there and everything like that, and, like, there's deja vu,
yeah.
And I was like, how are you gonna, like, I understand, like, reusing a song, because whatever, but how are you gonna take a song from a thing that is basically about the same themes as your movie, and use this, like, it just feels like, what is happening?
Yeah, I don't get it, man.
Did you know that Gosling's character's last name, Lethem, is Hamlet rearranged?
Oh, God. This is, again, there we go. 21's everywhere. This movie's so deep.
Can you believe it? So here's a bit of trivia about the color yellow. This is what I was talking about before. The color yellow is used predominantly throughout the film. This is verbatim. It represents sunshine, happiness, loyalty, joy, optimism, remembrance, and warmth. It energizes mood and relieves depression. It's the lightest and brightest color on the color wheel. It's an attention getter. One reason taxi caps are painted yellow, and in most countries, traffic lights and signs are yellow, meaning caution. Even some blind people can detect the color yellow. On the other hand, it represents cowardice and deceit. Judas is often depicted wearing yellow. So it's trivia that yellow is in this movie a lot.
Yeah.
And here's what yellow means.
Yeah, I guess that is what yellow means. Sure.
The only cool bit of trivia, well, there's two things that Gosling related. So there's that one scene where he's like outside, I think it's a jewelry store, like when his head starts to bleed on the sidewalk, things get again weird and trippy and whatever. Gosling is the one actually controlling the camera when like the camera pans and swivels around and like, you know, focuses on the people around him. So Gosling was actually operating that, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it felt like he was operating in the car, and I thought that ultimately the big twist was going to be that the psychiatrist was the guy driving the car. Because we don't ever see who's driving the car. We just keep seeing it from their perspective.
Right.
And I thought maybe we were going to get one of those, too. You know, like, when I saw, like, the Fight Club moment where they, like, switch places, I thought we were going to get that.
That makes sense. But no, it's not, because nothing, you know, there's no way to actually guess what's coming. And the only other thing is that the original ending of the movie had Gosling standing on top of the bridge, where he's last seen before the truth is revealed, and he's shown as gray and spirit-like, looking down on the events that are happening on the bridge, which would have been like a, because like there's another bit of trivia that's like about how this whole theme is about guilt and survivor's guilt, because the other people in the other car died, but Gosling didn't. But I don't think guilt comes really through the movie. I don't think. I think it's more like
he's guilty and trying to kill himself about it. No, it feels guilty because he said, like, I killed my parents, and that's why he's all freaking out all the whole time, and that's why he wants to kill himself. They don't do a good job of guilt because at the end he dies. Like, if he would have survived, then it would, I think it would be a different feeling. I actually would have liked the ending better if he would have survived.
I think he did survive.
No, he closed his eyes and they're like, we wish he could have done more, you know?
Oh. I also don't care. I thought he survived, though.
No. He's drifting in and out, and they're like, oh, no, there's nothing else we can do. And also, they're a shitty doctor and nurse if they just, like, sit there and just, like, pretend to hold him. Like, they don't even try to rescue him. They're just, like, just wait for the ambulance. You're like, you have a doctor and a nurse right here. Like, you're not going to actually do anything. It's like, no, we're just going to talk about whether or not he can have this ring or whatever. So
And I think that's all my notes. I mean, there's nothing else I want to talk about, really. Do you have any other moments that, you know, we'll talk about, we'll do our picks later, but do you have any other moments you want to nominate essentially for most or least boyfriend material moment?
No, I really don't. When he gets like hung up with the ring, that could have been a very boyfriend material moment, because he's like, I had one of these rings, like I got my girlfriend a ring, I was gonna propose to her, and it looked just like this. And he should have been, like, stealing it back or something. But no, the movie's just like, yeah, I have this.
The twist is just, like, an explanation of, like, where the things came from. But it's also, like, I don't care. Like, there's no meaning assigned to any of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
you'd
like,
have
a ring
to really ascribe to this movie. And I don't think that I ascribe to this movie. I'm still hung up on this fucking, the Hamlet backwards and stuff like this. Because this is one of these movies where, like, so you go in knowing that they think this movie's so cool, and they're like, this movie's gonna be so cool. And when people start, like, reading about it, they're gonna be like, oh, look at all this other stuff I didn't even see. And it's like, well, you couldn't deliver on the first fucking part, so, like, make a good movie first and foremost, and then add that shit in. Because, you know, this is, like, one of the things, like, we like to go back. Like, there's a ton of movies that we really like, or shows even, that we go back and we're like, oh, shit, like, they were telling us the whole time.
And, like, also Hamlet, like, Hamlet's about, like, revenge against an uncle for killing the father. But, like, that's not what this movie's about. Like, I don't know why there's so many, maybe there's deeper ties to Hamlet. Like, I don't know, but I don't know why Hamlet is so important to the narrative of this movie.
I don't know, because he kills his father in this movie, because his parents are in the back, so it's like a reverse Hamlet. They're trying to make the new age Hamlet.
Guess?
This is definitely not a movie I'm going to watch again.
No, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Joe, so what's in Gosling's
hands? Goss is in it, though. Wait, how do you feel about Goss in the movie? Because we didn't talk about that.
Oh, I don't like him.
You don't? I feel like it could be the script. I don't think he's doing terrible.
No, I don't think anybody is particularly doing terrible. I think it's just that nobody has anything to work with. Nothing is really effective.
I can see this being one of these movies where, like, if it's so up your own ass already, I can see one of these movies where, like, the director was like, I'm not going to tell any of the characters what they're actually doing here, and I just want to feel them. You know, like, I just want them to feel the energy of the script. And you're like, oh, God damn it. like mm-hmm. another one of these things. Like, yep. That's what I think that, like, if this movie would have gotten big, like, if it would have been successful, we'd have a lot of interviews like, how did you get them to do this? And he'd be like, you know, I just told them their feelings in the moment and let them go.
Alas.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, what's in Gosling's hands? Hey, Gos, what's in your hands? I got the cigarette on the subway car.
Lots of cigarettes. He's actually smoking multiple times. A gun.
The gun he puts in his mouth at the end.
And he pulls the gun on the psychiatrist, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't see him paint, but at some point before the movie started, he had been painting, so he had paintbrushes probably, but...
Yeah, but we just
anything else of note that was in his hands?
Maybe, like, the subway car handle. I was trying to think if he was holding it or not, and I don't think so. But I was when I was doing, like, you know, what's in his hands, I was thinking about that. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, it's just a lot of him just, like, on the verge of tears and then disappearing because it's not real. And
we got a lot of crying. If this would have been a Zeff movie, it would have been right up our alley, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joe, let's watch the trailer. I bet that this trailer is, like, going to be cool, and it's going to, you know, be like, oh, you know, I can't wait to see this movie. You know what I mean?
I'm excited to see it, then. I would bet that it looks really dumb.
Possible. So, on YouTube, Stay trailer posted by Sitting Ovations 8 years ago. 606,000 views. I'm going to let it buffer a little bit. Let me know when you are ready. 3, 2, 1, play.
Did you ever hear of an artist named...
Oh, yeah, Gus with the manatee.
Yeah, of course.
The manatee glasses in his hands.
I've never seen it. Nobody has. He burned all his paintings before he killed himself.
All the Dutch angles, all the twisted camera shot, like, oh, things aren't what they seem.
Yeah.
More years, then go to New York and kill himself. And that's exactly what he did.
And there's the fire of the car. Gosling.
This is the first movie he did after The Notebook. So like, I think they're just capitalizing on like, look at your favorite boy in this movie. He's so angsty.
Yeah. Favorite artist. And you see why I thought she was the sad queen too, because she kind of like they all kind of look the same in all these movies that he's been in. Well, the music's deep. Long hallway shot. He hears voices.
There's so many books in this movie, too. Like, just like lines, like bookshelves and walls of books.
There is. The Gosling shot when he's in the strip club is pretty weird.
Oh, the strip club, yeah. Burlesque show, yeah.
Yeah, that would be like a really good music video, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Arctic Monkeys music video.
Where you're just like sitting in the strip club. Why do you only call me when you're
high? Yeah, like you're just like sitting in the strip club crying. And your life is playing on the video in the background or something.
Oof.
Oh, man.
What a transition.
I know. They were telling you everything. We just didn't even see it. Yeah. Though dancing in the rain, that's kind of fucking weird, too. Like, pretty useless, picking out a ring. Yeah. Bleeding from the head. Like, what the fuck was happening there?
Well, he got hit. You know what I mean? He got hit like it was in the accident, you know? So.
Yeah, I know. But, like, that doesn't explain why he's... Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, nothing explains anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not real, so...
Yeah. Stay.
I was wrong. That was not a good trailer.
Told you.
I actually wonder how well this did at the box office. Let's see here.
Well, you can look up the numbers, that's for sure.
Let's see here. What's actually the budget first? Hold on. Budget. Oh, Jesus. $50 million.
Holy fuck. How did it do?
Worldwide, 8.3. Opening weekend, 2.1 million. Total in the U.S. its entire run, 3.6 million. Made another 4.7 worldwide for a total of 8.3.
Yuck.
Oh, boy.
They took a beating.
That
Jesus.
Is brutal.
Yeah, that's pretty rough, man.
I don't know how this director honestly ever got to make a movie again. Because if it costs $50 million, they probably do, rough rule of thumb is you double that to
for
do
like,
marketing. You know, in theory, lost $90 million. At least it lost $40 million.
Yeah.
Astounding.
Which makes sense why it's not like on Netflix or anything. They're still trying to recover costs from this movie. I was looking for it on like Netflix and like Amazon, like if there was like a free way to watch it. There's not. You have to rent it.
I'm gonna look right now. 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that
I watched. Yeah, I saw that.
A muddled brain teaser. Stay as a solid cast and innovative visuals, but little beneath the surface. 70% of audiences liked it though.
You know what this movie reminds me of, and this is gonna be like mildly offensive, is that this is a movie. That, like, harpening back to what you were saying, this is a movie that people that think they like art movies but don't would tell you that this was a really good art movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying. Like, remember, like, you were like, oh, yeah, we would, like, pretend like we liked this in high school or something? Like, no. But I think that I could definitely see a friend being like, my favorite movies are Avengers in Mad Max and be like, but I watched this sick art movie yesterday. And you're like, what was it? Like, Stay? And you'd be like, oh, God damn it.
Let me see if... Oh, ooh.
What?
So this is interesting. So a Google game, Ryan Gosling Stay. There are things here we've never seen before.
Really?
One of which is, how does Ryan Gosling stay in shape?
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
But so there's trailer, there's 2005, there's movie quotes.
Is Ryan Gosling going to stay with girl?
And
is
Rotten
that one
Tomatoes.
Of them?
No, everything else is just like normal Google game, but...
Not like hair or cigarette or painting or something.
There are three that you could guess. None are about him.
Movie? I don't know, because you would have given me the easy ones. There's three of them, but none of them are about him?
Yeah, I think they're using, because like, Stay is such like a vague title, that I think they're just saying, like, oh, the Ryan Gosling movie was Stay, you know what I mean?
Stay in theaters?
Nope.
What is it? I can't even begin to guess, because Stay is such a vague name.
Anagram?
Oh,
Hamlet?
Okay.
Lethem?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Ryan Gosling Explanation?
Explaining why he ever did this movie?
Well, I think just, like, what the movie, like, what the actual, but yes, I wish it was, like, why would he do this movie?
It's like the Channing Tatum comment on, like, G.I. Joe. It's just like, I fucking hate that movie, you know, like something like that. I could see a movie, based on the other movies that we see Ryan Gosling do, because we're going backwards, I bet Ryan Gosling really likes this movie.
You think?
Yeah, I think so, because like, think about like all the other like art house movies he does. They just execute better. I think that he probably really likes this movie, because he continued making movies like this. He wasn't like, oh shit, fuck, I'll just go back to The Notebook. Like, he like kept on this path. He was getting there. So I think he really liked it.
I guess, I don't, I hope not, but maybe. And the only other one is Ryan Gosling Stay, Don't Go, which I think is just a reference to La La Land.
Probably.
Okay, Joe, we're going to go to Letterboxd. Just prepare to get sad.
What do you mean?
I don't even have words. For comparison's sake, Mad Max Fury Road has been seen by 378,000 people.
That's a ton, yep.
Stay, 2005, directed by Mark Forster. Let me just actually run down the cast. Ewan McGregor, Ryan Gosling, Naomi Watts, Kate Burton, who I don't know, Elizabeth Reeser, who actually is in the Zeff movie Liberal Arts. She plays Athena. She plays the one in the hammock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Bob Hoskins, who plays the doctor, who played Mario in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Janine Garofalo, who is the blonde.
Oh, we didn't talk about BD Wong. BD Wong was in it.
BD Wong, Jessica Hecht, Mark Margolis, Amy Sedaris is in this for like one scene. Sterling
really?
K. Brown. Yep.
That's weird. Okay.
But yeah, so Joe, Stay 2005, Mark Foster with all those Mark Forster with all those people. How many people have seen Stay?
I'm gonna go. Man, we were getting big numbers before. I'm going to go 67,000.
Oh, way lower.
22?
Lower.
17?
Lower.
12. Okay.
12,043. Like, this movie is just, nobody saw this. In a relative thing. But, average score, 3.2. So I was like, oh, okay. Because, like, when the movie started, and, like, I messaged you, I was like, oh, this movie's a nightmare. And then I looked in Letterboxd, and I was like, oh, wait, people like this movie.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, man, maybe there's a twist at the end that's good. There wasn't.
Nope. But, as I was telling you, the number one review, the most liked review on Letterboxd is a 5-star review. The second most liked review is a 1.5-star review. So, like, people just, either they love this movie or they hate this movie.
What's the 1.5-star review? Is it, like, short?
I'm not going to deny how a certain amount of concentration is required for... it's long.
Oh, never mind,
really,
then.
It's really fucking long.
That's what I thought.
So, since I reviewed it, I gave it 0.5-star and I just said, woof. Someone named Sem Setty, S-E-M-C-E-T-Y, reviewed it today and said, excellent, .. brilliant. So there's somebody else in this world, Joe, that watched this movie today.
I can't believe that. They had seen it before? Was it the first time they saw it?
First time, I think.
Damn. So somebody was watching this movie while we were watching it today, said, excellent, brilliant. Gave it 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There was the one review, I want to see if I can find it, that I sent to you. We're going to play this guy, Luke Swales.
Okay.
He watched it recently. I think he watched it last Monday. His review, which I said this to you before, I have finally answered the question, what is my favorite movie? It's this. I've watched it about 3 times the past day, and I still hit hard every time the ongoing theme of death and having to face it alongside the themes of struggling with something awful that you may or may not have done, and the theme of confronting failure. It's an amazing score. It makes me break down and cry every time I watch it.
Interesting.
So Luke Swales, that this is, of course, as he says, his favorite movie. It's his number one favorite movie on Letterboxd.
Hopefully that changes.
Top 4 movies. What are his other favorites?
Oh, God. Eternal Sunshine?
No. There's actually, I don't know that any of these, well, we probably have guessed because we play this game a lot. His number 2 movie, we've done this before. It's a horror movie from the 70s. It's in Outer Space.
I don't know. A horror movie from the 70s. one of the ones, I can't think of the name of it right now.
It's in a franchise.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Nope. Alien.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, yes. Alien, cool.
His number three movie, which seems wildly different from the rest of them, is an Audrey Hepburn movie. Do you know any of her movies?
No, I know none of her movies.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, number three. Okay.
And then number four is, again, kind of like a mind-fucky sort of movie. It's Stanley Kubrick's last movie. Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman's third and final collaboration.
Shit.
There's the orgy scene.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That's right. And we just had it for Film Club, too.
And this, I just want to show you, this guy, who we just did these four, he has a very, very, very interesting breakdown of reviews, of his ratings. Like, it's almost across the board evenly distributed. He gives a lot more movies 3.5 stars, but like,
that's
that's not a bell curve. It's almost like a flat line, which is crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen this before either. I thought you were gonna say he has like a weird rating thing, like you told me about the other kid that was like a 3 is a 7, a 4 is an 8, and like a 5 is a 9, and then it was
I don't know if we talked about that on air, but yeah, I found somebody who's like, I only use these four things, I have a 6-point rating scale. It's like, dude, there's a system in place already, just use the system.
just use 10 places, half stars. We got it, buddy. Like, we already nailed this. So, like, you don't need to fix it.
All right, Joe, let us fire-ass titles this movie if we are renaming it in the style of High School Musical. This bare essence, what could this movie be called?
Hailstorm.
The Accident.
Death. Good. Nail the obvious one. There's one that's so obvious. I was, like, what, giving it to you.
Is there?
Yeah. Do I have to do it?
Go for it.
Hamlet.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Not a Fincher movie.
But it sure looks like one.
Yeah. Yellow.
Upside Down.
The Upside Down? I would like to send this movie to the Upside Down.
I think that the Demogorgon would like this movie.
I think the Demogorgon would really like this movie.
You could just call it, there's a bad twist at the end of this movie.
The bad kind?
The bad kind of twist, yeah.
Dancing Inside in the Rain.
Confusion.
Breaking HIPAA law.
I like that. Just, you know, we know exactly what this movie's about. Breaking HIPAA law. All right, Joe. Most and least boyfriend material moment. Before we talk about this movie, we're going to review our guesses. You said it's a movie about the championships of Red Rover.
Yes.
The whole thing is that he has PTSD from his early Red Rover days and he can't cross. He says, well, he does PTSD.
I'm close.
I mean, Red Rover could not be farther away, but PTSD...
from his... and he can't cross.
Traumatic, yeah. 3/4 to a full point. Somewhere in there. He's a coach of a young girl's team, like in Half Nelson. He comes up to a girl and says, don't be like me. You can do this. It's like, wow. He puts a hand on her shoulder. You can do this. She puts a hand on his shoulder and says, we can do this. They both cross. That's the end of the movie. But then at the end of the movie, he clotheslines a little girl full arm bar as he crosses. Everyone cheers except for the girl with the broken nose. Most and least a boyfriend material moments.
Perfect.
When I was watching this movie, I was like, oh, my guess is going to be kind of close, and it wound up being not close at all. But
what was your guess? I forget.
The year's 2077. It's a time-traveling sci-fi romance. It felt like a weird kind of like sci-fi romance, and I was like, oh, no, it's a very grounded. It's just like things are weird. But yeah. There was a moment where I was like, oh, like it's not in the future, but like the movie is kind of about what I thought it might be about, but it wasn't, you know what I mean? I was like, for 5 minutes, I was like, maybe, oh no, never mind. Gosling's a time traveler. He meets an aunt. Well, I guess he is kind of a time traveler because he travels through time in this movie, but I won't give myself points for that. Yeah. He meets an android, a synthetic woman, and falls in love with her. He has a mission to keep moving, but she asks him to stay, so he does.
Stay.
After he stays and falls in love with her, he loses all sense of purpose and becomes emotionally abusive towards a synthetic robot. None of that happened. Unfortunately.
No, none of it. It would have been a great movie.
Now, Joe, this movie, most and least boyfriend material moments. I don't know that I have a nomination for most. We only have the one that I can think of for least, The Smoking on the Subway. What do you want to say? What are your picks for most and least boyfriend material moment in this movie?
I don't know, man.
It's tough?
Yeah, it's really tough. Him spending a lot of time in a bookstore is probably the most boyfriend material moment.
Okay. And the least?
Threatening to kill himself at a certain date and time.
Yeah, that's pretty not boyfriendy.
Yeah, I think girls wouldn't find that too attractive.
Or do you think that, like, because he's such a good planner, they'd be like, oh, I admire his dedication to it.
I want
to
see his calendar. What else does he have scheduled? He's so organized.
you gotta respect a man with a plan.
Yeah, I guess. He can handle a gun well. Confident. Powerful.
The time has come, though.
What?
For me... to guess, and you not to guess, what happens in the notebook.
Oh, Is that our next movie?
It is our next movie.
Finally. Oh, God. I can't
and
wait to hear
also,
your
we're going.
Notebook.
I'm reminding you now, and I'm also letting our listener, that after, like, in that episode, we are going to rank our 20 Gosling movies. So sometime this some week, someday this week at work, take the 20 that we've done and just put them in some order, and let's go through them.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. We can watch it together next weekend, too, by the way.
I was thinking about that. Either record in person or watch it together in person. Either
no, we got to watch it together in person.
Okay.
We're going to watch Notebook.
So here is... here's what I know about the Notebook.
What do you know about it? Yeah.
So it's him and Rachel McAdams. They're on a boat at one point in the rain. They kiss in the rain.
Okay. Boat in the rain. Yeah.
I think she has Alzheimer's, or he has Alzheimer's.
Okay.
It's like a lost love or something, and she's reflecting back on her relationship with Gosling on her deathbed through a notebook. That's kind of what I'm guessing.
Okay.
I think at least one of them, if not both of them, die, but I don't know that for sure. But I feel like the notebook is the kind of, like, aside from the fact that I can't believe that I haven't seen it, other than, like, for a while, like, it would never be the movie that, like, but I just feel like I would have seen it by now. I feel like it's the kind of movie that, like, you can't exist in the world without knowing a little bit about.
It just permeated culture for a while.
So also, I'm going to say,
Spoiler alert, it's definitely a David Fincher movie. Surprise twist ending.
Ooh.
No, just kidding. There's not, I promise.
I actually want to look up who directed it. Do you know who? I mean, I don't think he would know who directed it.
No fucking idea. No.
Nick Cassavetes. Okay. Who directed more recently The Other Woman, which was that Kate Upton, Leslie Mann, Cameron Diaz movie where Jamie Lannister is dating all three of them.
Sick.
In The Notebook, the most boyfriend material moment. I feel like there's a pressure here. Like, I don't want to, like, let down because they're, like, it's such a, like, this is, like, the Gosling movie, right? So, like, this is...
Yeah, you'll be all right. Good. Take a wild guess.
I got to go something with the rain because I know the rain's happening. So they're going to, I think the most boyfriend material moment is that they go on a date and they go rowing in a boat and then it starts to pour and he gives Rachel McAdams his jacket or something to cover herself up with, and then it just starts to pour even more, and then they just sort of give up, and they laugh about it, and then they make out or have the sex on the boat. So the most boyfriend material moment is that he, like, sacrifices himself, his own dryness, to try to keep her dry in this sudden downpour.
Many, many, many spoilers, like, you have 7 bajillion options for each of these moments in the movies.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the movie. It's just, like, it's just a constant stream of just most and least boyfriend material moments strung together in one
I would
movie.
Expect nothing less.
Exactly.
The least boyfriend material moment is... Maybe they're having a summer fling.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if it's like a... If he's a local and she's from out of town, or he's like this drifter that passes through.
Okay.
But either way, at the end of the summer, she wants to stay together. Maybe I just got to stay on the brain. She wants to stay together. He says, no, I have to move on. And I feel like it was like this, it led to this unfulfilling life for her because she could never recapture that love that she had that one summer.
Okay.
So the least boyfriend material moment is that he abandons her when she wants a deeper commitment.
Okay.
So we'll find out next episode if
I'm
right. I'm
excited for you to watch the movie.
I'm very excited for it.
Because I haven't seen it since it came out, but I definitely remember a ton of it, and not because I was excited.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Well, after The Notebook, we have like 10 more episodes. So we're almost 2/3 of the way through Boyfriend Material. I mean, lately as we've been recording these a lot, we are really flying through them. But The Notebook, next week.
So excited.
Very, very excited. Any other thoughts, Joe? Oh, wait. No, wait. Hold on. Sorry. Awards.
Nominations. Yeah.
Worst film.
That's fine. Yep. Worst hair.
Most disappointing movie also.
Yes. Definitely most disappointing. Yep.
Worst Gosling role. We have no other nominees right there,
bad.
So it might go away, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think... Because it's not really, like, a worst role. It's, like, it's the movie sucks. Like, he's not... I don't think he's bad in it. You said you don't like him, but I think it's, like, scripting and stuff like that.
Most or least boyfriend material caliber role?
Neither.
Most fun film? No. Best song or soundtrack? No. Cinematography? No. Costumes? No. Best or worst hair? Worst hair for sure, like you said.
Worst hair for sure, yeah.
Best or worst love story? There's no love story. Best Gosling scream? No. Best Gosling cry? Crying in the rain.
Yeah, while they're dancing.
Best punch in the face. He's not gonna punch in the face. Best instrument.
I thought he was going to. That's what I was hoping for when they were like doing the like tussle. I was hoping for a punch in the face. But
yeah, I feel like, you know, for this podcast and for Zeph and for Channing, like the podcast that we do, like even when a movie's not good or enjoyable or like I'm never gonna watch it again, like it could still feel rewarding for what we do if like these weird things happen.
We watched a ton of Zeph ones that were like bad movies, but that we loved because it was just like everything we wanted. This is nothing that we wanted.
Best Ryan Gosling kill. He literally, I mean, he kills people in the car accident, but it's not like kill. You know what I mean?
It's not like a murder.
You want to say kills himself in a dream?
No.
Best job. He's a painter, but again, we don't really know. Or he just sort of seems like a scamp. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Best non-Gaz role, male or female?
Nope. Maybe like B.D. Wong as the other doctor, because the creepy mustache is great.
But Joe, we nominated this for 5 things. Worst film, most disappointing, worst role, which might go away, worst hair, and best cry. Cool.
Works for me.
Any of your thoughts about Stay?
This was a movie.
It was a movie. For all other movies that we've covered, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me. Check out our other podcast, most importantly, Too Fast, Too Forever, our Fast and the Furious podcast, every other Tuesday right here. Wherever you get this podcast, you can get that podcast too. And come back next week for the most important Gosling movie of all time. We fell in love with him as a nation, as a world, as a species.
Yes.
The Notebook. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next time right here on Boyfriend Material.